We're going to read Acts 1:14 and 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And these are some final words on our growing our faith together as God's people. And in coming forthcoming Sunday nights, we'll be back to simple expositions of the word. We're still thinking, again, about growing our faith together in the fellowship, this community of God's people, sharing our common life together in Christ. We're a people, living stones, being built into a spiritual house. We've been joined to Christ, and so we're also joined to another, to one another. And I guess 3 weeks ago, I mentioned this, that our fellowship, being compared to a book, is an all-in life-or-death collective venture in the face of evil and overwhelming opposition. And so that is what we're called to get together here. This is our place where we come and join together to be strengthened and ready for whatever battles we must face, but also for simply living for God's glory day by day. So I just want to make a few more applications of this tonight. I don't have my Bible open yet. Acts 1:14, a verse I've read many times before. We're going to do 1:14 and then 1 Corinthians 1, but I'm going to cover them starting with 1 Corinthians and then closing with the Acts passage. But Acts 1:14, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers and sisters. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together. And then 1 Corinthians 1, verses 2 and 3. This is more for the way that Paul addresses these brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians 1, 2 and 3. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, as we think for a few moments how you would grow our faith, grow our us in holiness together. Direct our thoughts to you. Help us understand. Let us have fresh application of your word, even this evening. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as we do think about asking each other that question, what's the Lord doing in your life lately? Here's what the Lord has been doing in my life lately. I'm just going to jump right in. I am 3 points tonight. One reason we can ask that question to each other is because, number one, by God's grace, we are saints. That's our description. Saints. I'm in 1 Corinthians right now. Let's see. Called to be saints. That's how Paul addressed them. We're called to be saints. Now, how is this possible? It's because we're also, part of that calling to be saints is that we're sanctified in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 10:10 tells us we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And I'm thinking of two aspects of that being sanctified tonight. One is that as we trust Christ, God sets us apart. We are what the theologians call definitive sanctification. We are set apart, called God's people, called holy, called saints, because of what Christ has done for us and are receiving that by faith. We are sanctified or set apart or made holy, declared righteous, because of his sanctification once and for all in his death. That is the death of Christ. He's the sanctifier of all the people of the new covenant through his sufferings. By God's grace, we are saints. Now it says, again, he emphasizes this over and over in Paul's writings, that this is a plural. He does this for us. And we must each bow before Christ together. I mean, each individually bow before Christ and receive him, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved individually. But that immediately puts us into God's family. And Paul emphasizes this plural, saints, called us to be saints together with all those in every place who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus. We are saints together with all the believers, really from all time, past and future. God calls us saints. What has happened, and by the way, I mentioned our definitive sanctification, we're set apart, but that sets in motion our continued sanctification, our growing in holiness. As those already set apart, we begin to grow in holiness. But really, that's point two. So let's stick with point one. We are now saints by God's grace. We're experiencing what Jeremiah told we would experience, the law of God written in our hearts, in our minds, our teaching one another, our exhorting one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, are being God's possession, what Peter would call a holy priesthood. We've been enabled in the fullness of the Spirit to know him and serve him in a new way. Our sins are fully dealt with by Christ. We're wholly dedicated now to God through Christ by the power of his Holy Spirit. We are set apart. We have, you might say, a new identity. Our identity together as God's people are the identity of saints. So it is as his saints. Not, and again, we have a really in church history, and particularly with thinking of our Roman Catholic friends, this word saint has been really misused. Saints aren't just special Christians who have done particularly special things. All of us, everywhere, are called saints. Let's see, David Peterson says, sanctification means being appropriated by God and dedicated to him by the saving work of his Son. Sanctification has to do with the identity and status of those who are in Christ. And it also points to the lifestyle that is consistent with God's calling. And so, if we were studying 1 Corinthians, which we're not, but I'm sure you've read it before or studied it, Paul calls these folks saints, and then he begins to instruct them in repenting of their sins. He calls them saints, set apart by God, sanctified, and yet then he begins to discuss that they must turn away from these sins. Sexual sins, sexual immorality, idolatry, conflicts, envy, strife. They are a sinful people that need to change, and yet he begins by declaring to them, addressing them in their new identity as saints. They were God's church, the church in Corinth, sanctified in Christ. And he calls them saints, and then he calls them to live as saints, to be a holy and distinct people in a corrupt and godless city. Now, is this relevant for us today, being called God's saints and called to live as his people in a corrupt and godless city? I think it is relevant for us. So that's number one. We are, as God's people, by his grace, we are saints. We are saints. And so, number two, by God's grace, we ought to conduct ourselves like saints. We ought to live out of our identity. Relationally, the people in the church in Corinth has been set apart, called God's people, sanctified. But now they must. Paul insists they must, by the power of the gospel, the work of the Holy Spirit, more and more express their sanctification in their lifestyle. He's challenging their values and behavior. He's calling them to holiness. Having been relationally declared to be set apart, now he's saying ethically in your life, in your conduct, now be sanctified. And so sanctification is our one way of describing our conversion and incorporation into Christ, but also our way of growing in the values and the characteristics of Christ. It is a title of dignity. We're God's saints. Both Jews and Gentiles, the Jews who who believed Christ fulfilled the covenant promises, and all the Gentiles who've been brought in to join in the family, Jew and Gentile alike, were saints, were the congregation of God. Saints aren't just a special class of people. They're all of God's children together. And so we're called to live as such, to conduct ourselves as saints. I'm going to read several verses from 1 Peter. A few verses from chapter 1 and then from chapter 2. I'm not going to say much about it. I'm going to let this describe. He describes some of the things that I've tried to set forth here in these few minutes. Here's what Peter said in his letter, 1 Peter 1, 2. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Or sanctified in Christ, Paul says, Peter says, we're also sanctified in the Spirit. And why? So we would be obedient to Christ. He continues, verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. The Bible is so consistent. Just like Paul's teaching, so here is Peter. You have a hope in Christ forever. So now, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. I'm using Paul's language to describe Peter's thoughts. Don't be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. You're called to be holy as God's children. God's grace has brought you out of this lifestyle. Now live as who you are. And then he describes who they are. In chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. But you, he's saying to God's people, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So now he, having already been pleading with them to be obedient, to be holy, by God's grace, now he actually says, well, here's why you ought to be, and here's the identity out of which you can do this. You're a chosen race. God chose you. You're a priesthood, a holy nation. You're set apart as God's people. You're His possession. He's called you out of darkness into His light. You hadn't received mercy, now you have. And so, keep your conduct as God's people honorable, so that they may see your good deeds, and even in seeing your good deeds, glorify God on the day of visitation. And so again, Peter, just like Paul, has the same message. And folks, I don't have a long, detailed application of this. I would just say, look around us. We see immorality. We see evil. We see last week and this week, we see people. And we will see this week looking for a Savior. And I think it's whatever amount of personality, the following of a personality last week, this week it's even going to get deeper as people searching for a Savior. We do live in a crooked and depraved generation. And God calls us to glorify Him. We do live in a generation where it's legal to kill babies in the womb, where sexual immorality is now deemed as right, and we're expected to follow suit. It's going to take courage. It's going to take conviction. It's going to take understanding our identity as those. That's right, you're in front of me. As a chosen race. You're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a people for his own possession. We're to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Paul stresses those who truly belong to the church of God have been sanctified in Christ. Peter reminds us we've also been sanctified in the Holy Spirit. In another place in Acts, Paul, as he's describing his own ministry, he describes he's come to call people out from the power of Satan into the power of God, out of darkness into light. He said this when he was before King Agrippa. And he began sharing the gospel with him right there in court. And he stresses, our inheritance is to live forever with all those sanctified by God's grace. Remember he said, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. So remember, as we seek to glorify and enjoy him every day, this isn't our final home. We have a home forever with Christ in eternity. And so, by the power of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit, we're going to seek to study God's word and apply it every day to our life, to our relationships together, that we may be built up and sustained in holiness until we all together partake of that inheritance God has planned for us. So we are, as God's people, by his grace, we're called saints. We're called to conduct ourselves as saints. And one of the ways we do this is we pray together and for one another. So my final point, back to Acts chapter 1. The early church were with one accord, devoting themselves to prayer together. We are to pray together and for one another. I've talked a lot about our need to pray together. I don't need to rehash that too much, but I do. Let's look at a sample prayer for how we can pray for one another. 1 Thessalonians 3, 11 to 13 gives us an example. 1 Thessalonians 3, 11 to 13. Here is an example of our prayers for one another that we should be praying even as we depart in just a little while this evening. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. Paul is speaking to the Thessalonians in this case. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Well, there it is, the same message again and again and again. What are we? He's praying for us to love one another as his people. Let's pray that we would love one another. He prays we'd be blameless in holiness, set apart, conducting ourselves as saints, as God's people. And he says, why? Because we want to be here in this training ground for heaven. We want to be prepared for heaven with hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus. What? With all his saints, all those whom we share family relationship with in God's people. God wants us to grow more and more into living as those he has called us to be. And our love for one another and our prayers for one another are one of the manifestations of this identity. Paul wants us to manifest integrity and purity of life, love for God and love for one another. God calls us saints. God calls us, therefore, to conduct ourselves as saints, and he calls us to pray for one another. I'm going to close with a short devotional. This is a book was put together by Jack Miller, C. John Miller, known as Jack Miller, a wonderful Christian man whose followers weren't quite as devoted to the truth as Jack was, and he gets a little bit of a poor reputation every now and then, but it's really not him, it's his followers who kind of went astray a little bit. But his daughters and daughters-in-law put together his sermons into a daily devotional. I'm going to close with this. Back on June 18th, the verse, and I've been saving this ever since for this, the verse was Acts 1:14. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And I'm going to share this short devotion as we close. This is from a sermon of Jack Miller. The disciples had run away when Jesus was arrested. But here, after the resurrection and ascension, they are devoted to praying together. How do you see God? You see God by waiting on him. And the new covenant way of doing this is by praying together. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:8. A characteristic of the pure in heart is that they pray together. How devoted are you to praying with others? It is in corporate prayer that we must come to God about everything in the church, the family, the Sunday school, the home, the elders, the worship. In corporate prayer, we come to God about these things. I'm afraid that we don't pray enough, and we don't pray enough in the right way. There are many who pray a great deal, but pray ineffectively. You can tell when you've prayed effectively because your heart is pure, full of faith, and wants God's priorities. Ask God to teach you how to pray and learn what his priorities are. To do this, you have to give up being a loner. You have to give up doing your own thing. You must pray together. Well, let's pray together right now. Lord, we thank you that we can come together for a few moments here on a Sunday evening and sing your praises. I thank you for Ron's evening prayer, coming before your throne of grace on our behalf. Thank you for our opportunity to study the Word for just a few moments. I pray that what once seemed like such dense material to me, I hope it's been simple enough. But Lord, we do pray for one another. It's our prayer that we may increase and abound in love for one another and for all and for you, that you would establish our hearts blameless in wholeness, and that we would be prepared for the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. And we pray in his name. Amen.